Thank you guys for leading us in music and worship. Really thank Jeff for inviting me to come. I know I probably, I think I was a help for him, but earlier this week, I think about on Wednesday, he gave me some scripture to preach on today, telling me you guys have this great series that you're going through. Does anyone know what the series is called? On Mission, right? There we go. And so he was telling me this is like a really important week because like next week is Friend Day, right? And so we want to talk about inviting our friends to come next Sunday and how this was an integral piece, integral Sunday in the whole lifespan of the series. And so he gave me this specific passage to go through, and I was working on it and I was going through it. It was in Romans 10, and I was just like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but like, it just seemed like God wanted me to go like in a different direction, like as far as much as I could study this and write notes. I had like 3 or 4 pages of notes on this piece of scripture that Jeff gave me, and then I called him yesterday and I was like, Jeff, is it all right if I do something different? And he graciously said it was okay. And as I waited on the phone for your response. But thank you so much, Jeff. I hope that you get rejuvenated today. I hope we all not only get rejuvenated, but that we become ready to move forward in our lives as Christ followers, to go and to be on mission in the world, in our communities, at our jobs. So like Jeff said, my family and I moved down here to Tucson from Washington State on December 28th of last year, so we've been here just over 7 months now. And we are planting a church in the Flowing Wells area, which I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but it's like around Ruth Roth, La Cholla, and then down to like Speedway is kind of like where we're at. And we are partnering with a church in Midtown called Second Mile, and they meet at 4 o'clock, so it makes it easy for me to come and be here in the morning. But Second Mile has been going through a series. In fact, we just finished up last week is a mission series as well. And so I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be on mission. And of course, you probably think that I've been thinking about a lot since we went on mission. We came as church planting apprentices missionaries to Tucson. So this idea of being on mission has been in my mind for quite a while. And as I've thought about mission, not just in the past 8 weeks that we've been going through the series, and not just the past 7 months when we've came here, but throughout my life as a Christ follower, all the way back from when I was a teenager, I had a few questions that always cropped up in my mind whenever it came to sharing my faith with people. And some of these questions you may have asked yourself too. You may have struggled with it. Some of these questions are, how will I ever measure up? How do I even start in sharing my faith or being on mission, being kind to people that aren't kind to me? How do I move forward in mission? Do I have what it takes? I always have felt like I'm not at that kind of professional level where I'm a professional missionary, which I'm being paid to be one now, so I guess maybe I am, but I still don't feel like it. I still ask these questions, like, do I have what it takes? And I think for girls and ladies as much, but for guys, like, that's always a question that we're struggling with, is, like, when it came to growing up, and do I have what it takes, and always wanting that affirmation that, yes, you do have what it takes. And so, as I have been struggling with these questions, and I hope that some of these questions resonate with you as well, I came to a passage in Acts chapter 4. And so even though on the back of your bulletin there's a spot for notes, and I want you to use that spot for notes, there's some questions that I want you to write down that are going to come later on in this message. And so I do want you to interact and write down these questions that I want us to struggle with later on. But on the back of your bulletin, it has some scripture passages on there. You can just cross those out if you want. You can just like disregard those because we did go in a different direction. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4. And so there's a story that we're going to look at in Acts 4 of two men, Peter and John, pillars of the church. You may recognize those names. They're both disciples of Jesus. They're called out by Jesus, one of the first disciples that were called to him. They're part of the inner circle that Jesus had of the three guys, Peter, John, and James. And so it's the story of these pillars of the church. And their lives, I believe, answer the questions that I've been having, and I think answer the questions you've been having of how will I ever measure up, and do I have what it takes to start being on mission with Jesus? Because their story, I think, dispels a lie that many of us have swallowed, that we've believed, that many Christ followers believe that there are some who are gifted to be missional, and then there are others who are not as much gifted to be missional. And that's a lie. The lie that Satan wants you to believe is that you are not as capable to be missional as someone else. And that's just false. And this story helps us to see how that's a lie. And so I want us to first read Acts 4, 1 through 12. And just think about, as we read these first 12 verses, about Peter and John, about what they're doing, about just how enormous everything that they're doing seems to us. All right, so in verse 1 of Acts 4, it says, "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. It's crazy. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Cephas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" That's pretty courageous, right? I mean, I think we would all raise our hand. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I hate raising my hand when people who are giving the message ask me to raise my hand. I don't like that. And so invariably, no one does. But I think we would all raise our hand and we would say that, man, Peter and John, they got it. I mean, those guys are missional to the core, right? Like, there is nothing that we can, we can't measure up to that by any means. Like, that may be what's going through our minds, that for sure that we just marvel at their boldness. Like, wouldn't it be awesome to be bold like Peter and John? Like, inside of us, we desire to be bold like that. But, man, how could we ever expect to do that? But then, here's the key verse. This is a verse that, this is really one of my life verses. I remember when I was first being considered as a lead pastor at the church I was at up in Yakima, Washington. When I was first being considered for a lead pastor, I had no seminary training. That's the only church I'd ever served in. I knew without a shadow of doubt that is where God wanted me. But still, I felt very, very incompetent for that role. But then this verse came into my life and it stuck with me. And I want it to stick with us right now. It's verse 13. Let me read this and it'll be up on the screen. There it is right there. Listen to this verse. "When they saw the courage," that is, they is the Sadducees, the temple guard, the teachers. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus." They looked at him like, that's just an ordinary dude right there. That's just an ordinary person. There's nothing special about Peter and John. What is going on? Hey, those guys haven't even been in school. And then they realized those two guys had been with Jesus. And this verse gave me a lot of confidence because I don't know if you know it, but I'm just an ordinary guy. There is nothing special about me. I remember one time I was in high school and I had a friend. His name was Josh, and good friend. And he had this mohawk. It's like he put glue in it so it would have the spikes like that. Man, it was awesome. And he would wear these big chains. I grew up in the 90s in Seattle, so that was a thing. And the big chain is a chainsaw chain, actually, that he had around here. Yeah, it's just, man, I wanted to be a punk guy so much. I really did. I never fully made it. Never, I couldn't ride a skateboard. I can't do that. But he was one of my friends, and he came up to me one day. He was by far not ordinary, as you can kind of picture. But he came up to me, and he was like, "Luke, I can always count on you." I was like, "What do you mean, dude? What do you mean, Josh?" He's like, "Every single day, you always wear blue jeans. Every single day." It kind of caught me off guard. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, that's just, you're just ordinary. He didn't say it in a bad way. It's like, you're just ordinary. Blue jeans every single day. I'm like, that's what my mom and dad buy me. I don't know. But I couldn't afford anything. I just wore what they got me. But blue jeans every single day. There's nothing more ordinary than just wearing blue jeans every day. And, you know, that my dad worked a blue-collar job, and so he's just an ordinary guy. And, we were just ordinary people. And I'm looking out here. I don't see anyone that's not any less ordinary than me, all right? That's not a slam or anything. We're just ordinary people, right? I think we can agree with that. There's nothing inherently special about us. There's nothing inherently special about Peter and John. It's all right. But what the teachers of the law and the Sadducees, what they noticed is that these people, Peter and John, had just been with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They worked with Jesus. They laughed with Jesus. They played with Jesus. They had just been with Jesus. And I think Christ followers, especially in America, I've been in Africa too, and I think I'm not going to just say in America, but I suck because I saw it in Africa too. But I think that Christ followers have been conditioned that to be missional means to be something special. It's not. Being missional just means to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus is missional. Not special training, not special schooling, not special seminary, not special giftings, not special title. Pastor or church planter or director, not a special house for hosting a life group. I think about this one thing that Chad, the pastor at Second Mile, said a couple weeks ago. You don't need special training to talk about someone that you love, right? I love my wife. I don't need special training to talk about how much I love her. I receive special training to bring greater clarity and greater, can't think of the word I'm thinking of, but we go to marriage conferences to heighten that. But I don't need a marriage conference or a marriage class to shape the way that I talk about her. Being with her just makes me want to talk about my wife, Jolene, because I love her. Just being with her. I think if you were with Jolene, you'd just want to talk about her too. And you probably feel that way about other people in your life. We don't need special training to talk about Jesus if we love him and if we're just being with him. Because there's no fear in talking about something that you love. There's no fear in being missional when being with Him just makes that natural. So what I want us to understand is that for Peter and John, and for us, that when we're with Jesus, Jesus removes and overcomes all of our deficiencies. All of our problems that we say get in the way of us being missional. And I see people all throughout the Bible who, just by being with God, with their Heavenly Father, and with Jesus, that all their deficiencies are overcome. Think of Moses. He couldn't speak well. God overcame that. I think of Peter. Man, he was putting his foot in his mouth all the time. Jesus overcame that. Like, our excuses of, I can't speak well, I don't know the right verses, I don't know how to lead him right through the Romans road or whatever that thing is, I'm not a good conversationalist, I don't have enough training. Here's a big one for me, and I think for a lot of us, is there's someone better that can do that? Nah, all those excuses out the window. Like, those have no bearing on our missional walk, on telling people about Jesus when we're actually being with Jesus. And if we let those things get in our way, then what's really going on is that we are not being with Jesus. Because all of our real deficiencies, and believe me, like, I know I have real deficiencies, and I know, and other people know, even if you don't know, you have deficiencies too. But Jesus overcomes all that stuff. All of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a great example here that Paul, the Apostle Paul, like, man, this is like, Paul is like the man when it comes to church planting. Paul is like the man when we think of missionaries, right? Like, as you spend more and more time in God's Word and listening to the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible, like, you begin to see just like, Paul is just amazing when it came to be missional. Like, I think all of us here would love to put on Paul's shoes and to be missional like him. Like, he's got everything together, right? No, he doesn't. Look what he says here in 2 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. He says, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, even Paul understood that he who had all the school training in the world, like, he was a learned man. He knew what he was talking about. I wish I always knew what I was talking about like he did. But even him, he didn't receive confidence from his schooling, but you see, his confidence came through Christ before God. His confidence came through being with Jesus before God. Like, even he understood this concept that all of his deficiencies to speak about the gospel, the good news, the hope, the joy, the peace that God the Father offers us through Jesus, he knew that all of his ability to do that came through being with Jesus. And that's the only thing that made him competent. So being with Jesus. You know, like Peter and John, they physically were able to walk with him. They were physically able to pat him on the back. Or, I don't know, wrestle with him. Whatever. But being with Jesus, like, they're physically able to do that. We, right now, we're not physically able to, like, do that. But what does it look like for us as 21st century Christ followers, 21st century people, to be with Jesus? I want to propose, you know, I mean, we could talk about, of course, prayer, being in God's Word. But I think one of the main things that we can do is just, and it's like prayer, but it's more constant than, well, Paul says pray continually. But think of constantly having an internal mindset, frame of mind that continually is aware of Jesus' presence in your life. How many of you have jobs? Some of you have jobs. Okay, so like, can I pick on someone? Who should I pick on? Levi, where do you work at?
I work at Senior Valley Elementary.
All right, so like, you walk through those doors of the elementary school. As you walk through the doors tomorrow morning, what are you going to think of, probably?
Yeah, I go in work mode, man.
Huh?
I go in work mode.
You go in work mode, right? So you're thinking of what you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do there. Are you a teacher or? Okay, yeah. So you go in a work mode. And I work at Funtastics. You guys ever been to Funtastics? How many? Okay, I won't make you raise your hand. But think about Funtastics. Like, I do go-karts there. So I go in and I'm thinking the first thing I got to do, because it's hot out, first thing I got to do, because I got to get the big water jug and I got to fill it with ice and I got to put a bunch of water in there and then carry it out there. And so if I just went into those doors thinking about what I'm going to be doing first thing when I get to work, like, I mean, that's okay. But see, as I've been thinking about this mission thing, I have specifically tried to change my mindset as I walk through those doors into work. Instead of thinking about having to fill up that water jug, I think about Tino, and I think about Hector, and I think about Bill. They're going to be in there. And I think about, God, what do you want me to say to these people today? Or, God, how can I express joy? How can your joy from the Holy Spirit overflow in my life to these people today? None of these people know Christ. And so it's a frame of mind of constantly, internally talking with Jesus, sharing all the moments of our ordinary lives, just like Peter and John, but in a way where we are constantly thinking, even in our ordinariness, that Jesus is with me. And Jesus, how will you overflow in my life today to these people around me? When we pick up the kids, when we go get our coffee, when we go to the store, when we're with our spouse, when we're with our friends, just being mindful of his presence in our life. Because Jesus is with us. It's just whether we're mindful. Being with Jesus is mindful. So here's a first set of questions I want to ask you. Three questions. And if you can, I think it'd be good to write them down. If you just think of them, you'll probably forget them tomorrow. But I'm hoping you won't. Okay, here's your first question. Have your deficiencies kept you from freely expressing the missional mandate that Jesus gives us? Have your deficiencies kept you from freely expressing being on mission with Jesus? Number two, does your confidence in mission come from being with Jesus, or does it come from some other source? Jeff, does it come from seminary, or does it come from some other, or from Jesus? From Jesus. That's the second question. Does your confidence and mission come from being with Jesus or somewhere else? And the third question, tomorrow, how will you, as an ordinary 21st century person, be with Jesus? Like, what's that going to look like for you? What are you going to be doing tomorrow where you have to consciously remember to have a mindset that Jesus is with you? So I want us to understand that not only does being with Jesus overcome our deficiencies, I mean, that's a real thing, that's a good thing, but the great thing about Jesus is that he just doesn't bring us to, like, if our deficiencies, if we have a scale and zero is middle, and our deficiencies make us, like, negative, right? Jesus just doesn't bring us back up to zero. Like, he removes and overcomes our deficiencies, but the thing with Jesus is that he promises that he is going to unleash in us missional power. So he, not of anything that we're able to do, but he gets us above zero. Like, he moves us. So being with Jesus not only removes our deficiencies, but it he begins to unleash missional power in us. And John 16:15 talks a little bit about this, and we see this play out in Acts 4, because in Acts 4 it says Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16, verse 15, this is what Jesus says to his disciples, and Peter and John were right there, so they heard this and they took this to heart. You can tell they did. But in John 16:15, Jesus says to them, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." So Jesus takes, Jesus has everything that the Father has, and we know, I believe that the Father has ability beyond our wildest imaginations, correct? That's what I believe. And so all this is in Jesus' hands, and Jesus takes from that and makes it known to us through the Holy Spirit. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. That's his promise, is that that Holy Spirit is filled in us, overflows in us, and unleashes in us missional power to go. All that the Father gave to him, he gives to us, and it fills us. Filled Peter and John. It filled, in fact, if we go back to Acts 4, it filled the entire group of Jerusalem Christ followers with the Holy Spirit. Here's one example of how the Holy Spirit overfilled in Peter and John in Acts 4, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Then they called them in again," that means the Sadducees called Peter and John in again, "and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" They couldn't help it. They could not help it. So think of this. Now, I asked Jeff to make sure it was all right, so I'm going to get a little water up here. That's okay? Right? Okay. So when the Holy Spirit fills us, watch this. Okay, I am going to make a mess. When the Holy Spirit fills us, it overflows and it goes everywhere, right? We knew that was going to happen. But it just spills out. Like, the water cannot help but just spill out. That's just what's going to happen. Try not to spill anymore. But so when the Spirit fills us, real Spirit filling can't help but just, like, come out. It couldn't help but come out of Peter and John. Like, they said to these guys, "There's nothing you or even we can do about it. The Holy Spirit's in us and is going to come out, and we're going to keep speaking about Jesus. Can't help it." And we see later on in Acts 4, when it wasn't just Peter and John, it wasn't just the special people. Remember, they're just ordinary. But it was the whole group. Later in Acts 4, verse 31, it says, this is the whole group of people that were worshiping together in Jerusalem. In verse 31, it says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." And then what? "They spoke the word of God boldly." Like, they are filled, and it just had to come out. It has to come out. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it has to come out. This concept of overflowing. All the ordinary Christ followers were filled to overflowing. And then we see the repercussions of that. We know that when things overflow, that it can be dangerous. About a couple months ago, I was working, this is kind of funny. I was working on a toilet and removing the toilet, and I was working a snake down the pipe to try and get something to work. I don't know the first things about toilets, but I was asked to do this, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was very incompetent. Being with Jesus didn't help in that situation, unfortunately. I was trying to do something, trying to work on it, and then all of a sudden, all this water started flowing up. It's like, I can't even stop it. Like, it was just overflowing. It just, like, filled the bathroom, and we had to turn off the water. But we know that when things overflow, like, it can be dangerous. Like, when we have a big monsoon, we haven't had a huge monsoon yet this year, but I'm just waiting for the rivers and everything to, like, overflow. And do you drive your car through that? When it's, you know, through those little gullies or stuff? I hear it all the time. Don't drive through there, right? Because it's dangerous. Because when things overflow, it's dangerous. I believe that when Jesus' missional power is unleashed in us through the Holy Spirit, that overflowing Christ followers, get this, I like this phrase, dangerously dismantle the work of Satan in the city, in our community, in our schools, in our homes. Like, when we are overfilled with the fruit of the Spirit, and we can't help but speak, and we can't help but express hope, and we can't help but express joy, like, it dismantles joylessness and hopelessness and lostness in our world. Like, this is a dream of mine, that the work of Satan at Funtastics, where I work, all the hopelessness I see there, is my dream, that through just the overfilling of the Holy Spirit in my life, the hope that overflows in my life there, that it would dismantle hopelessness at Funtastics. Man, that's my dream. I don't know what your dream is when it comes to dismantling the work of Satan around here. But what would it look like if the people here at Authentic Life, the Christ followers who are here at Authentic Life, were constantly with Jesus and overflowed with the Holy Spirit in their communities, in their neighborhoods, at their workplaces, in their families? Think of the change that would happen. Think of the change that would happen in Tucson if we overflowed with boldness like Peter and John did. When we overflow with boldness like the whole church of Jerusalem did in verse 31. That is not out of our reach. Because the same Holy Spirit then is the same Holy Spirit now. We would overflow with courageous obedience like Peter spoke of and John spoke of in verse 19, wherein they said, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Like, that is courageous obedience that overflowed from them, just normal people who had been with Jesus. And that can be real in our lives as well. And people take notice of that. That we would overflow with kindness. That we would pray for healing like the church did in verse 30 of Acts 4 when they said, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We'd overflow with kindness. Another dream of mine is that the city of Tucson would be saturated with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. That is only going to happen when we courageously obey Jesus' mandate and mission. And it's only going to be able to happen if we're with Jesus. Because by ourselves, we might be able to do some good stuff. Maybe. But by ourselves, we're unable to achieve any of those visions that God has for His plan in Tucson. By ourselves, without being with Jesus, I mean, we could be with other people, but if Jesus is not the main thing of being with Jesus, we could be with other people and still fail. We could be by ourselves and we'd do something, but we would run out of steam. We'd be by ourselves. We'd be burnt out. We'd be by ourselves without constantly being with Jesus, and we're going to fight with each other. Honestly, if we're not with Jesus and we try to do this on mission thing, like we're going to make fools out of ourselves. But being with Jesus means that we have what it takes. Being with Jesus means you have what it takes. Being with Jesus means you can walk through your doors at work and not think about yourself and what you're going to be doing, as we so constantly do, but think about those people you're working with. Or you can walk through the doors of your house and not think about yourself, but think about the other people that are in your house with you. Being with Jesus means all of our deficiencies are overcome, but even greater than that, being with Jesus means that there is power unleashed in us through the Holy Spirit. And for me, man, I'm excited about that. Power we didn't even know was there. And so here's a final question for you that I want you to struggle with like I struggle with. I want someone else to join me in my struggle. But can you honestly say, like Peter and John in Acts 4:20, that I can't help but not speak about Jesus? I cannot help speaking about Jesus. Can you honestly say that? Why or why not? Got to add the why or why not. Makes us think about it. Can you honestly say, I cannot help but speak about Jesus? And then the other thing is I want us to be praying for an overflowing of missional power here at Authentic Life, here in Tucson, here in your life groups that you have, in an overflowing of Jesus' power in your life. What fruit of the Spirit would you just like, God, if you filled me with your Holy Spirit, like this is the fruit that I would love to see come out of me. I would love to see joy come out of me. Self-control, kindness, gentleness, love. And pray for that. Pray for that. Because it's exciting. It can be a little dangerous. I like danger, but it's a little dangerous too. It's exciting and it's dangerous when stuff begins to overflow from us, begins to overflow from our church. And I want us to see that happen. It's not out of our reach, being with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how you continue to be the same throughout all ages. Father, thank you the promise that you gave Peter and John to fill them with your Spirit is the same promise that you give us now. That you fill us and you change us and you enact dynamic change through the filling of your Holy Spirit in us. And Father, we want to be a part of that. Lord, I want to see Authentic Life be a part of that. I want to see Second Mile be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray that we would be mindful of your presence. That we would be with you like we've never been with you before. And that we would move forward without fear. That we would move forward in a confidence that doesn't come from our own abilities, but instead a confidence that comes from your ability, which is beyond our comprehension, Father. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning. Thank you for your promise to be faithful through all things. Father, I pray that people here would go, including myself, that we would go out and that we would not be able to help but speak about you. And that many people would respond and many people would be here next week for Friend Day. Lord, I'm excited to hear and see what happens. Father, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.